Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You're traveling through another dimension. Next stop, Twilight Zone, the movie. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
Four years later, the trial is just beginning. At issue, who's responsible for three deaths on the Twilight Zone movie set? Lawyers for the film's director blame an explosives expert, but Sandy Kenyon reports prosecutors disagree.
The trial got underway with two different accounts of how the tragedy occurred. The defense claimed a bizarre accident led to three deaths. The prosecution laid the blame on the filmmakers, accusing them of staging a dangerous stunt.
Twilight Zone is a institution.
Absolutely. One of the first memories I have of TV is watching the Twilight Zone with my mom.
Because there's different iterations over time.
Yeah.
Marathons. There's a new Twilight Zone with Jordan Peele. You could say Black Mirror is a
kind of a
Twilight
variation.
Zone. A Twilight Zone.
Yeah, and then, did you know Roald Dahl had his own Twilight Zone?
Oh, that'd
episode?
Be...
It's very creepy.
And you can even argue that a lot of movies and television shows somewhat... that's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty iconic.
Yeah, it's in the lexicon. Everyone knows about it. Again, my mom is a huge fan. Maybe I'll make her listen to this.
And it always will be.
Yeah.
But there is somewhat of a black mark on the Twilight Zone legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And where else would that take place but in the 1980s?
Oh, hell yeah.
Which people might say, you know, the Twilight Zone in the 1980s, the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And especially what we're going to be talking about, Twilight Zone, the movie, is probably the only thing you think of when you think about Twilight Zone, the movie, is the death of Vic Morrow and two very young children.
Yeah. Wow.
In a very horrific
horrible
accident.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to be occupying the space of Indian Dunes in Santa Clarita.
Yeah.
So right here. Right here in the valley.
Yeah.
And Santa Clarita is also known for a lot of Western, westerns were filmed there.
Santa Clarita Diet.
It's very interesting. Yeah, Santa Clarita Diet. I'm trying to keep it retro with the old school westerns, but you're just like,
Timothy
Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant. Absolutely. I mean, Twilight Zone, again, it's the TV show went on for, 22 seasons. It was like Doctor Who. And then they made all these movie spinoffs. And I love when stuff like this happens. It's like Poltergeist, too, where it's like you're flying too close to the sun with show's successes, and then something happens, and you're like, and especially in this case, it's like, yeah, this makes sense that this horrible thing would happen. People are being horribly negligent.
I'm going to tell you the origin for this one for me.
I can't wait.
Now, this one is going to be a little bit, I mean, I don't know, it depends on who you ask, a little controversial of how I'm bringing this up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm familiar with, everyone is familiar with Twilight Zone, the movie, and this particular part. It's an anthology, so there's four parts, four different directors. John Landis was directing this one.
Mm-hmm.
And so you remember, I just want to give people macro view.
Mm-hmm.
Max Landis, the son of John Landis, has gotten a lot of attention and press.
Yes, he
and
has.
Not in a good
being
way.
A great guy. Gave a lot of money to charity.
Opposite. And it's not for, I mean, he made, he wrote, and I don't know if he directed the movie, Chronicle, which was good.
Oh, yeah?
I like that movie.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it. Everything else that he's done has not been like that great. Like
yeah.
he hasn't had a lot of success, and he's, you know, there's a bit of, he's in a like a, you know, a dynasty of, you know, I don't know how many other people, but when you're John Landis' son,
yeah.
doesn't hurt.
You
doesn't
get to make a movie.
Doesn't mean that he doesn't have talent, but he's kind of known, at least by the people that I like and respect and believe, a not good person.
No. Horrible.
And you probably, it's,
horrible
you know,
person.
Yeah, yeah. And people in Los Angeles are a bit.
And that pisses off even more, too, because it's like, you reek of entitlement. You're fucking John Landis' son, and you get to be humbled by that, because that helps you out immensely. But instead of being humbled, you act like an entitled, harassing, manipulative, horrific person.
From there, I was, you know, doing, you know, you're doing some research, and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, I want to find out a little bit more about this. And someone on Reddit and is like, don't forget John Landis, because of John Landis, two children were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very strong thing.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. You went down the Max Landis rabbit hole, but someone was like, stop. John's a piece of shit too.
I mean, like, let's argue here, which is worse. I don't, you know, it's not for me to say.
No.
But that's how I got here.
That's how you got here.
And it got me here to want to talk about this. Because it's Twilight Zone is so iconic.
Absolutely.
The Twilight Zone, the movie, is probably, as far as things that came out, is probably at the bottom. You know, it was,
yeah.
didn't really even really do that well.
No. And they never do. They never do with a show as giant as Twilight Zone. The movie is like another like cash shill for yeah. people to be like, there's another way we can profit off of this.
And, you know, in the 80s, the early 80s, I mean, you know, they had some really great, you know, Steven Spielberg, mm-hmm. you know, John Landis, and making great stuff. They're
making
like, why can't this work? And maybe because it is too big budget. Maybe it is because it's on the big screen. We're just mm-hmm. seeing it on a small screen.
Yeah,
a very small screen.
Out.
And it never really, and it's really only known mostly for that thing.
Yeah.
Vic Morrow, who is the father of Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yes.
Yes, right? I'm right on that?
I believe
okay.
so, yeah.
Yes. And he was killed, and two young children were killed, and it was the laws of children endangerment
mm-hmm.
were not, you know, they didn't adhere to the things they needed to adhere to keep mm-hmm. children safe.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, can you imagine in this day and age killing a grown man and two kids, and the movie like still came out and was released, and trying to bury that information now in 2019, that would be insane.
I was, you know, I wanted more context, and I wanted to kind of get a little bit. So I just wanted to look up the scenes mm-hmm. from the movie, but really what they really kind of thrust upon you, at least when you're doing searches, is the actual footage of the, and it's grainy and whatever.
Oh,
and here's
God.
The thing. So I start watching it. I'm like, I don't watch these things. I don't
Jason.
Watch anything. And I literally stopped before I got 10 seconds in. I was like, I'm not watching this.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's running. He's got the children under each arm. And I was like, I'm not participating in it. And I'm not saying if you do that, I'm passing judgment. It's just, I'm not going to get anything out of it. But I was like, you know what? I want to kind of come at this with some kind of genuine feeling, and I was like, you know what, I'm not going to get that from this.
No, well, I also think it's a good thing to mention too, if people are listening to this and they want to revisit it, to know that you will come across the actual footage, and what you do with that totally
is
up to you. No judgment.
So there was a helicopter bombing in the village in Vietnam, which mm-hmm. was interesting. That, like, you know, MASH was in the like the Malibu Hill. They filmed MASH like in some kind of Malibu hills or something like that. I think there are some still. I've been wanting to go see it. Just going. From where we are and going to Malibu is a nightmare.
yeah, it's like an hour. It's like a different country.
Yeah,
can
but
we
there
go to
is
Neptune's
still
net though.
I've been there. There's still some structures from the show still there as like part
cool.
of the thing.
Let's go.
But Santa Clarita isn't. I don't know, for some reason going to the valley for me is easier than going west.
Yeah.
So the Indian Dunes and plenty of other movies. I think maybe The Color Purple and some other movies. To replicate, this was to replicate Vietnam, which is great, you know?
Yeah.
better than having to go to Vietnam, like, if, you know, or going to Cambodia to film it or something like that. Like, so you're having like an Apocalypse Now scenario where it's just like dangerous, like, and weather and
visas and work shit and like the logistics of that just seems very complicated.
Well, I feel like people might have had a better shot there than here because things just went really awry, like really bad. Like, even in Apocalypse Now, like, no one was beheaded.
No.
You know what I mean? And for as tough as that shoot was, there was a guy named Dorsey Wingo, who's a real Vietnam veteran. He was there kind of at the controls for this blowing it up for some kind of authenticity. But no one with experience working in the film or stunt work were there. So they had rehearsals. The explosives had kind of like kind of terrified the dude, but he never told anyone. He's like, guys, I'm having PTSD or I'm not qualified to do this.
Yeah. You know, he just kept silent.
But you're like, oh, we got a real Vietnam vet. He was there. That doesn't mean you're a technician of stunts and explosions, you know.
No. It's like, oh, you had surgery once? Operate on me.
Yeah, it did not go well. The differences between real life and like a constructed situation was kind of lost, and he, you know, Landis was kind of known as being, you know, super controlling, yelling, screaming, demand, like very, very demanding. He's like, I gotta get the shot. I'm John Landis. I need the shot.
That. Like that auteur bullshit. Yeah. Thankfully, I feel like that's not as prevalent anymore. No. Like, you actually have to be like a nice person to get jobs.
Who's the I Heart Huckabees? Who's the director of that?
Shoot, I forget.
I forget his name. His name escapes me right now. Yeah. Somebody's probably saying it right now on the podcast.
I know, they're like, bah! Yeah. We hope like, someone is invested enough.
Quentin Tarantino. I'll just say that.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's right.
John Landis was like, listen, I need the shot. Mm-hmm. There's money. Everything's good. Okay. Like, let's just do this. I don't want to hear anything. You know, so that, you know, they did it up in this Indian Dunes. Great. So they started shooting July 23rd, 1982. Morrow, you have to pick up the children, one on each arm, got to wade across the river.
Yeah.
And he is pursued by the American soldiers. And this is kind of an anthology that kind of like connects to him. And he's now in this world. I mean, you have to watch it, how it all kind of connects. Yeah. But he's ends up helping these Vietnamese children.
Yeah.
And then so he's being running from the American soldiers that were, it was being flown by the Vietnam vet. Mm-hmm. And the helicopter was stationed 25 feet from the ground, hovering near a mortar effect. There's explosions that were going off. Mm-hmm. But it was just too much was happening. It was too just much. Yeah. Too much. You know, the guy, the Vietnam vet Wingo, was just like, this is not safe.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
He said that finally. He was hey, yo.
Yeah. Well, he would kind of like testify it later, but, you know, he's like, we got to get out. But Landis over the radio shouted, quote, get lower, lower, get over. So he wanted this helicopter, you know, directly over them. He lost control of the helicopter because one of the rotors failed. And at the low height, it crashed into the water. Morrow had dropped Chen, which is one of the children at that moment, was reaching out to grab her. The helicopter fell on top of them. Ugh. Morrow and Lee, the other child, were decapitated by the rollerblades, and Chen was crushed to death.
Oh, my God.
Nobody reacted until Chen's mother was there.
Oh my God. Can you imagine being a mom on set and running over to this state of things and just encountering your crushed child?
This is even creepier. According to Morrow's friend, he says the last words of the actor before they did the scene was, I've got to be crazy to do this shot. I should have asked for a double. And his lines in the scene, which he didn't get to say because
he
was
died.
Decapitated. He's like, I'll keep you safe, kids. I promise. Nothing will hurt you. I swear to God.
Oh, my God. That is horrifying.
This is hard. I mean, I honestly was in deep with this one.
Yeah, like, I can imagine.
I was in deep. So John Landis, you know, he was known Blues Brothers, Trading Places, Animal House.
Like, the blood is on John Landis's hands.
Not according to John Landis.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's very
interesting. The guy who birthed Max Landis? Birthed him.
He's like, if I was so bad, how come I birthed my Maxie? My little Maxie.
My saint. He's a saint.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's so many things. Like, this person doesn't feel good about this. This person doesn't feel good about this. John Landis being like, no, go do it.
And, you know, it's I figure it's 1983. And I was like, what is safety then? Like, how much has film progressed? I mean, listen, accidents happen on sets and it will. This one seemed to be very egregious. And normally,
and
I mean,
fucking gruesome. Like, this is not someone gets like hit or whatever. This is not like the chaos of set. This is carefully orchestrated murder.
You have a thing where you wouldn't have children. Like, if this is a movie done, there would be doubles, or they would cheat the thing out, or
yeah,
the,
have, like,
the safety, or be CGI, or whatever the case would be. And this is what happened. I'm sure. Listen, I'm sure the parents of the kids, like, this is amazing. You're in a, you know,
you're
film,
in a movie. How exciting! This is very big, high profile.
And I'm not putting any ownership on parents or whatever, but there is probably a little bit of my kids working to be a star for whatever reason. So there's just like there's a little push in a lot of directions.
Yeah, but that's not enough to, like, I don't think that contributed. It, you know.
Oh, how about this? Okay. If you were a mother of a child today, 2019, and there was a helicopter getting lowered over your kid, and it looks like it does in 1983, where you have a Vietnam vet kind of controlling the thing, would you be like, I feel good about it? You might be a little trepidatious.
Well, you'd be like, you're like, I don't know. I think you put your trust in the hands of the director.
True.
In the people in control, and you assume safety because you're on a fucking movie set, and everyone's signing off everything, and, you know, there's lawyers around, there's, like, all, like, the idea of being on a set like this, especially, even in 1983, there must have been people everywhere, people of authority, studio executives. This is a high-profile film that is a part of a high-profile TV
and
franchise.
In the valley, and we're in California. Yeah. We're not, like, in a remote
area.
You're
like, of course it's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
I think you'd be like, of course it's gonna be okay.
And you'd be like, put me in the film. Here's my headshot.
Exactly.
And he's like, we don't need you. Are you Vietnamese looking at all?
No.
You're like, I can be. And you're like, no, we can't.
Like, no, we have to overextend our authority and murder some people today. Like, so excuse me.
Can you babysit my son Max, though? What'd he say?
Yeah, they'd be like, Max is, actually, could you loan Max like $7,000?
Yeah.
That's what we could have you do.
Yeah. This is my flash sideways. John Landis and four other men working on the film, special effects guy, helicopter pilot, were charged with involuntary manslaughter, right?
Okay,
and that is pretty legit.
Wait, did you say John Landis in there?
I did, yeah.
Okay,
including
good.
John Landis.
Okay.
They put his name first.
Oh, finally.
Interesting. And I'm also going to go, I don't know why I feel like I need to go on record, because I don't think John Landis is happy about this or want to this. There, I don't think there's any like thing where John Landis is like, so what? Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
Just to say that I don't think that there's no benefit for him for this to happen, even if he's the worst person on earth. It's terrible, actually.
It's awful.
It ruins his thing. Even if he's the most heartless person on earth, it ruins the thing.
Yeah, but also it is kind of up to him and the production manager. But every set I've ever been on, there's always been safety, like security, like people around who are specifically assessing the situation for imprecautions, safety inconsistencies. Again, this is 1983, so that's probably not as existent, but I think it was in a lot of cases, especially with small kids and labor laws with children. Like, that's kind of his responsibility, the producer's responsibility, to make sure that exists.
Especially when the scene is 2/3 children, essentially.
Yeah.
And then, so we're according to a 1987 New York Times, it was the first time a film director faced criminal charges for the events while making a movie.
Uh-huh.
During the trial, the defense said the crash was an accident, couldn't have been predicted, and the prosecution claimed that Landis and his crew had been reckless and violated laws regarding child actors, regulations about their working conditions and hours. Probably true.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's like, you get to work with John Landis.
And they're like, but we'll never sleep.
There was a 10-month trial. They acquitted all five defendants.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Families of the three victims filed lawsuits against Landis, Warner Brothers, and Twilight Zone co-director and producer Steven Spielberg. And
even the Spielberg is in this.
They settled for undisclosed amounts.
Want to take a little break?
Yes.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, I'm Jamie, host of Murderish, a true crime podcast that provides a 3D look at gripping murder cases from beginning to end. You'll get to know the victims and perpetrators, how their worlds collided, and what went down during trial. I also share some of my own personal experiences, like the time a stranger came into my bedroom at night. Yeah, that really happened, and I walk you through all the details of that terrifying night. Have you ever wanted to be a fly on the wall during a murder trial? You'll get that opportunity on Murderish, as I share my experience being a jury foreman on a first-degree murder trial. Search Murderish in your favorite podcatcher app, hit subscribe, and start binging. And remember, listening to this podcast doesn't make you a murderer. It just means you're murder-ish.
Hey, Christy, what do we talk about on our podcast?
Well, Ashley, we talk about all kinds of weird stuff.
Like aliens.
And ghosts.
And cults.
And cryptids.
And witches.
And murders.
Yeah, even sometimes murders. Basically, we talk about all kinds of weird shit.
Well, I already said that.
Oh.
So yeah, if you like weird topics, feminist rants, and the occasional F-bomb, you should listen to us.
We post new episodes every other Weird Wednesday.
Find us online at thatsweird.org.
Listen to That's Weird on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on social media at That's Weirdcast.
Okay.
And we're back.
We are back.
Patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Bonus episodes.
We got them.
We have one about a ghost train.
Oh, shit.
It's nice.
Oh, my God.
Two bonus episodes a month. It helps us with our editing and other costs. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, message us on Instagram at Ghost Town Pod.
Please. And we had a woman recently message us and talk about her ghostly experiences. She sent us photos of this orb that was on her shirt during this one visitation. We would love any of that. We eat that up. So please, any photographic evidence of anything, you with a weird spot on your face, you with a dark shadow, you with a chill, I don't care. I want you to send me pics.
Yeah. Interesting pitch.
Yeah.
Also, we have a YouTube channel, which we sometimes we'll just put episodes on and then sometimes just for some random videos.
Yeah.
So just look up Ghost Town Podcast on YouTube. Subscribe, it helps.
Yeah.
Thumbs up some of the things.
Yeah, my vlog, Alive and Well.
Yeah, so it'll help us out with that.
Exactly, and very exciting. So Jason and I have been working on the show for a long time. It's called Brain Games. Jason has been featured on heavily, I can attest to that.
Yeah, well, I was at D23, the Disney thing. You saw my butt, right?
I did, I saw your back, whole back.
Yeah.
Back and butt.
Yeah.
And calves.
Yeah. Ooh.
And heels.
Ooh.
All of it. Yeah. All of it I saw.
Nice.
So we were at D23. I am a producer on the show called Brain Games, which we talked about a little bit because I believe I've been sleep deprived since January working on it. But it's a really good show. It's really fun. Again, Jason's on it.
So much fun.
It was
There's trailers
blast.
Out too.
There's trailers.
I tweeted on my Twitter, which is Jason_Horton, if you want to check it out real quick.
The trailer is pretty exciting, I have to say. But the show is out on December 1st on Nat Geo, and then it will also be on Disney Plus. So please, if you want to keep us going, watching the show is a way to help us to do that too. Although also subscribe to Patreon, please.
Yeah, you might see me in some episodes being probably pretty awkward.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it, right?
It's pretty on brand. It's not out of Jason's wheelhouse. He's not doing Shakespeare here.
No.
You're going to see the Jason you know and love.
With maybe some celebrities?
Maybe some celebs, even. Yeah, two celebs.
Yeah, and then maybe they think that we aren't.
Jason interacting with two celebrities?
Yeah. And which ones are that? You're going to find out.
You're going to find out. I can't tell you yet because they're not out
December.
Yet.
Yeah,
come
December. Yeah, come
December.
Yeah.
I don't want that. You don't want that. Just watch.
So you want
to get surprises?
No, I don't. Not really.
Oh. Well, okay. All right. Jesus.
You want to get back into it?
Let's get back into it.
John Landis. I want to stick it to him some more, if that's okay. So his relationship with Steven Spielberg was really soured after that.
No shit.
And he really, like, his You know what I want to do?
What?
Will you allow me to do something? This is something that I want to do.
Please.
I want to go down the John Landis discography.
Please.
Filmography.
Great.
He's got some albums. He's got
Movie-ble-ogly-ish?
Yeah. And I want to see, I want you to see where things
this,
went wrong.
How
yeah,
this
I want to see.
Impacted him.
Yeah, because this is the one thing that I did. And
also, how much do you think they settled for in court? Out of court in an undisclosed amount. Oh. Millions, right?
I mean, probably John Landis 83? Signed pictures up the wazoo. I would say.
Just a lot of glossy headshots. Glossies?
Yeah. A producer credit on the movie. Oh, so here, let's go into it. I'm not going to do the whole thing.
Okay.
Actually, in 1977, the Kentucky Fried movie. Ever seen the Kentucky Fried movie?
I actually love that movie.
Yeah,
it's really misogynistic.
It could never, ever come out now.
Really, but I remember watching it in high school,
yeah,
and thinking it was hilarious.
It is a very, very good, I don't know what to call it. It's a very ahead of its time in the sense of satire.
Yeah, it's a sketch comedy. It's kind of it's a fun sketch comedy, a little bit gross out, a little bit like character based.
Racist.
Kind of, yeah. Oh, definitely. I should watch that again, or should I? I don't know.
So we have that, Blues Brothers.
Okay, heard of that.
Which is very popular. I'm not a huge fan of that movie, but I know a lot of people are.
Yeah.
People are like, you don't like Blues Brothers? I just don't like comedy.
A lot of white men, aging white men who are lacking relevance love Blues Brothers.
Ouch.
You can quote me on that.
We just did. American Werewolf in London.
Hell
kind of a
yeah.
classic, yeah.
Oh my God, Warren Zevon too. Ooh, that soundtrack is sick.
I mean, Trading Places.
Oh,
that's a good,
that's
I mean,
a pretty solid.
It's hard to, so directed those. Mm-hmm. 1983's Twilight Zone the movie.
Yep, we talked about that.
Director, producer, writer. Okay, so across the board. Mm-hmm. Muppets Take Manhattan, only an actor in it. So I'm not even counting that.
Wow.
Okay, Spies Like Us, which I did like. He was a director.
I don't think I've seen that.
I saw it in the theater. Three Amigos, a director. Okay. Amazon Women on the Moon, which is another Kentucky
really?
Fried movie. Yeah, it's an 80s Kentucky Fried movie.
Three Amigos is huge,
yeah.
too.
Okay, Coming to America.
Yeah, big.
Big, right? How about a little movie? Oh, Oscar with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Not good. Mm-hmm. How about Innocent Blood in 1992?
Nope.
Mm. Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Okay.
The least enjoyed one.
But at least I'm like, that's on my radar.
The Stupids?
Nope.
Blues Brothers 2000. Oh, and these are just ones that he's directed. Susan's Plan?
Stop.
Apparently a lot of actor roles.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Burke and Hare in 2010?
Nobody cares.
And executive producer on I Hate Kids, Except My Own.
God, that's actually like disturbingly bad.
So do you see there is a bit of and then a big decline?
Yeah, I would say Three Amigos, then even like Blues Brothers 3000 or 2000 or whatever. I'm thinking of Andre 3000. different. But he has these little bumps and then downhill.
Yeah, I mean,
a
little
cameo
play
can save you.
A little play in the TV realm in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It's Dream On, which was I remember that.
I don't remember. That.
Weird Science, the TV show, The Stand. No, he was an actor in that one. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the TV show.
Yeah, I thought he also directed that. The movie Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Did he not?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm. And he directed some episodes of Psych. It's one of those shows. Psych is like Suits or Burn Notice. I was like, you don't know what it's about.
Totally. Nobody cares. It still is on because there's some weird dedicated group of people who are like Psych heads.
And the last thing he directed in 2012 for TV was Franklin and Bash.
Wow. I knew a writer on that show. Hold your applause.
I don't know. His trajectory might be better than John Landis's. So do you see of what...
You see what
and
has
I wonder
happened.
How much of that had played into it.
I'm
it's like,
sure of it.
John, you murdered involuntarily manslaughtered children.
Yeah. Sometimes it haunts me when I don't return a pen to the bank teller at the bank.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure this haunts him probably all the time.
Or is he so insulated that he's... And I'm not saying he doesn't feel bad. Like,
no,
he doesn't
his son probably takes a lot of his stress off of the plate of killing three people.
He's like... Yeah, this is pretty bad. He's like, yeah, but Daddy, at least I didn't kill three people. He's like, no, this is worse, man.
Yeah,
you got a lot of think pieces on you.
Oh, man, yeah.
You're getting hit
But it's interesting that he never made a statement, though, on this. Like a public...
Nope, never. It felt guilty that, you know, he was the one in the helm of what happened overall, mm-hmm. but not like the result of it.
Yeah.
Not his fault.
Man.
But I mean, if you're the director, producer.
Yeah. It's that guy's, it is nobody, like, I blame him fully for this. This is not this is the culture of movie making, the culture of entertainment, the culture of being a director. I'm sure he was a fucking asshole. Like, I blame everything. I blame the blood of these people are on this guy's hands. Sorry.
That's because sometimes, you know, listen, directors in the, you know, that kill it in the 80s, times change, they don't really keep up. Do you think mm-hmm. his career would have been any different had he been like, you know, listen, I'm owning up to this. This is my
bad. I think so. I mean, I can't say for that time period, but I think had he broken that wall of like impenetrable auteur and been like, I am deeply, like, apologizing to the publicly apologizing to the family of these people, that's a really powerful thing. You know, I know, like, the money and all that shit, but that doesn't really matter. I think for a lot of people who have done something bad in entertainment, the thing that is scariest to them is losing their power and credibility. It's not money, you know?
Yeah, no,
so when
easy.
Someone can kind of humble themselves and be like, I take full ownership. You see that all the time. Like, all of these people who've done awful things, like, to humble themselves and take ownership is the worst thing that, in their own privileged minds, they can do.
Yeah, and it doesn't...
I'll get off my soapbox now.
Perfect timing.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.